Hello, hello, hello. Can I hear myself? I sure can. There we go. Can you guys hear me?
I can hear you. Oh, I can hear myself as well.
There you go.
I can hear myself.
What mic are you on? I turned on the wrong one.
Nice job.
We just don't really want to hear Heejee's opinions right now.
Perfect.
You've been AFK for like a month, over a month, a month and a half.
I was busy being a citizen of the world.
A citizen of the world. Where in particular in the world?
I was with my family in Korea.
Oh, that's fun.
You know.
Did you have fun?
Did
it open your eyes to like a bigger like universe?
Oh yeah, yeah. It was definitely my first
hashtag
time.
Like a broad change.
So how many times
me?
Have you gone to Korea before?
Many. Too much to count.
Too many times to count. So this is usually since you left. Before you left during the semester, it was All Chat, the video game talk show. But after you left, and with the summer schedule, it changed into the Music Discovery Hour with Mr. Gracias.
Yuck.
Where I just play music that I've discovered during the week. Huh?
I like the title a lot.
Yeah, I liked it too. But now that you're back, apparently we're just going to, you know, make a hybrid.
Revert.
Yeah, we're going back for the next three shows.
New friends.
Yeah. This show and the next two will probably be back to All Chat, the video game talk show. So for the next hour from 5 to 6 p.m. on your radio wave, we will be talking about video game news, video game stuff.
Yeah, for those in Malden, Medford, Somerville, Arlington, and Cambridge, we got you.
So thank you for joining us today. It's Friday, 5:03 p.m., and it's not cold outside because it's so humid. I hope you're enjoying your Fridays and ready for the weekend. We're going to talk about E3-related news since that happened last week. We're going to probably play like one or two songs first just to get the vibe going, and then we'll jump into some talking. Make sure you stick around because we're going to be talking about E3. And for those of you that aren't aware of what E3 is, it's like a huge convention that happens in L.A. with all the major corporations of gaming, Microsoft, Sony, EA, Bethesda. Is that how you pronounce their name?
Yeah.
Who else? Nintendo. Was that a scoff at Nintendo?
Yeah.
And what is the what is entertainment something something? Like it's three E's. That's why it's E3. Expo's the last one. Entertainment something. I forget it.
Explosion.
Extravaganza.
Yeah, there you go. Explosion Extravaganza Expo. That's what it is.
Too many E's. That's E4 then.
No, there's no electronic.
There's no entertainment
or entertainment.
Electronic Entertainment Expo.
Just sold it right there.
All right, so we're your qualified host for this show, and we're going to go into the music. We'll be right back.
Wait. What? Before we go to the music, here is the weather brought to you by Google Pixel. Today, it is 67 degrees Fahrenheit with a high of 67 and a low of 56 tonight. And it feels like 67. Humidity is at 62%. Visibility is 10 miles. All right, this is your weather brought to you by Google Pixel, and I'm DJ Heejee.
Do you have a DJ name? I'm Mr. Gracias. That's DJ Heejee. And we have a third special guest.
Oh.
You're new to the show.
This is my first time being on a radio
Newbie
show.
Newbie over here. Really? First time ever?
It is, yeah.
We're all tough students, three different years.
Years? Yes, we have three different
years. I said years, right, Justin? I said years.
No, you said it correctly.
You
don't
said the anatomy.
No, I didn't.
Oh, my God.
What's your DJ name?
J Songs.
There
That's
you
a
go.
Good DJ name.
That
actually.
Is a good DJ name. All right, J Songs, do you want to bring us the traffic update since you gave us the weather?
Traffic update. I didn't even have it on my phone. Hold up.
Do you know about highways around here?
Yeah. What's the traffic like on, what is it, 92?
Yeah.
Boston 92 traffic update.
Mm-hmm.
Brought to you by.
While we're waiting, you're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. This is going to be All Chat, the video game talk show, right after these two songs and, weather and traffic updates because we're a legit news station.
Yeah, we do this for a living.
Yeah, this is educational radio.
I found the update, but it's on a map.
Just read it, bro.
just read
How
it.
How am I supposed to read it when it's a map?
Colors and highways.
93 is red right now.
Yeah. It appears to be red on 93. It appears to be a little busy on 90 as well. I would advise avoiding the 90 and 93 then.
Get home
it's
safe,
like the only
folks.
Way to get
just,
home.
Just don't go home. Just stay wherever you are.
Yeah, it's 5 o'clock. It's rush hour on a Friday. Everyone's trying to get home.
Yeah, just go home later in the evening. Just eat dinner
we're
going
to play some... I'm going to go White Flower by Rafferty is what their name is. And yeah, maybe some Sublime. We'll be with you after this. Breaking news coming out of DJ Hejay's Pixel phone. Want to give us the update?
Cristiano Ronaldo to accept jail term and 16.4 million euro fine.
That fine's like nothing.
How long is his jail term, though?
To suspend the jail term, so he's probably going to do it later.
After the World Cup?
Yeah, after the World Cup. A two-year sentence.
A two-year sentence? No way. Just to give you context, the World Cup just began yesterday, and today was day two, and part of today was also Spain versus Portugal, which, you know, as many people are aware, Cristiano Ronaldo is the star of Portugal's team, scored a hat-trick today, and tied the game up.
But it's Ronaldo is unlikely to serve any jail time under the deal, reportedly a verbal one at this stage. Under Spanish law, a two-year sentence for a first offense can be served on probation with no requirement for custody. This is from the BBC.
Yeah.
So 2 years probation. Maybe that's why they were saying that this could be Cristiano Ronaldo's last World Cup.
I don't think so. The World Cup's every 4 years. In 4 years.
Yeah, like, but
how old is Ronaldo?
33? Maybe. No, he's like upper 20s.
Let's look it up.
It's like 28, 29.
All right, let's talk about E3.
All right.
Yeah, so we're going to be talking about E3. That was White Flower by Rafferty. It's a good song. It's on my running playlist. We're going to be talking about E3 today, and again, for those of you just tuning in, E3 is a big gaming convention that happens in LA. It's a 3-4 day event. All the major
corporations. Was today the last day, or was yesterday last day?
I think yesterday was the last day.
Okay.
Oh, yesterday was the last day, then it's like a full week. It's like 5 days. Started on Sunday. Or Saturday.
I have no idea.
So big companies like EA, Microsoft, Sony, Nintendo, Bethesda announced upcoming games and things to be excited for the upcoming year until the next E3. It's every summer. And so we're just going to be talking about our thoughts about it, even though, you know, most of us didn't watch most of it. But we've seen a lot of, you know, it's hard not to see the trailers / see just hype all over the internet about them.
Yeah, I mean, I think the first thing we can talk about is probably Nintendo and how
Nintendo
didn't bring anything except the crossover games on the Switch and literally just that and Super Smash Brothers.
Yeah, I was thinking, did they have any original?
They had new Pokemon game, but that was announced earlier than E3.
It was, right? It was announced like a week before,
so
2 weeks
before.
The only
game is Smash?
Literally Ultimate? The only like full title that they brought to E3 was Super Smash Brothers Ultimate.
Yeah, and which the new thing is that, one, it's new. Two, it has every character
that's ever been in a Super Smash.
And there's
Smash
new
Brothers
mechanics
game.
And like new updates. So it's like technically a new game, a new Smash.
It's not a new game. They've tweaked the mechanics. It's like a patch. That's what it is. With all the DLC added to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but...
Well, it's kind of like FIFA, how FIFA releases a new game every single year.
I just saw a graphic on Reddit about how there's like going to be... Like, who's going to win Nintendo with the Ridley, with the one new character added to Super Smash Brothers, or all these other developers who actually brought full-fledged titles to E3 and like have developed like
Reggie.
Something to like show people, you know? Nintendo's... Mm-hmm. Whatever, man.
Well, that's the thing, is that I feel like Nintendo for a long time has been just in a different race than everyone else.
Yeah.
Especially with the multiplayer scene. Like, they're just not... You just don't know how to do it, especially with Splatoon. Like, how they do voice chat, how they do online interaction socially.
Yeah.
But they just have such... They won two of their games, one game, like, were top contenders for all Game of the Year and all those sections on our previous one of our shows where we discussed Game of the Year and, like, Soundtrack of the Year or whatever, like, all stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Nintendo, like... Was it Legend of Zelda and...
It was, Odyssey. It was Breath of the Wild and Mario Odyssey. Those two were, like, winning back and forth, winning every other section. And that's just proof that they have such good games. Like, when they make them, original content, like, it's just... It's good. I mean, Mario and Zelda obviously are not originals. Like, they've been redone over and over again. Same with Smash.
Yeah, they just like to tweak the mechanics.
Yeah, it's like the same. Yeah. It's stick to the formula. They're good at, I guess. And they're also bringing Fortnite to the Switch.
I know, but like, so what?
Big news.
Yeah, right?
Like, it's bigger news for Fortnite than it is for Nintendo.
It's bigger news for Fortnite fans.
Mm-hmm.
What do you guys think about the Sony controversy of preventing cross-platform play?
Is that Fortnite? What that was?
I think that's that's what I read so far.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, for me, like, seeing mobile players being able to jump into a game with PC players is just like blows my mind, because it's so clear when big streamers like Ninja run into a mobile gamer, you could just tell. It's like, oh, that was probably a mobile gamer, because they just have no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
Either that, or they're just like 5 years old and just grabbed a controller. But the thing about cross-platform, it's amazing. Like, you should be able to, like, I think all games, like, should just be able to be played on anything. Like, obviously not, like, The Last of Us should be played on your phone. Like, that doesn't make any sense. But for multiplayer games, to be able to play. But, I mean, there's going to be a skill gap, obviously.
Yeah.
PCs are going to have a huge advantage most of the time. But I don't know if you guys saw the Pro-Am that happened at E3 for Fortnite. It was 50 gamers and 50... celebrities, and they they partnered together.
Yeah.
It was 3 rounds. The first one was everyone was for themselves. Second one, there was duo partners.
Yeah.
The one that won was Ninja and Marshmello. They were a duo. Marshmello, the DJ. Okay. He was wearing the Marshmello helmet the entire
That's so
game.
So annoying.
And then the third one was just a rematch. of duos. But they won the first one, so, and it was a charity event. So first place winner gets $1 million, and they get to choose where to send that $1 million to, which charity, whichever one they want.
Which charity did they choose to do?
I know Ninja Turtles chose an Alzheimer's charity. I don't know where Marshmallow put his.
They both get
$1 million?
They each get five. They get half of it. Like, the winning team gets $1 million. And they
split it evenly? Okay.
Yeah. And then, like, second place gets, like, $500,000. Like, it goes down pretty quickly, but it's still a lot of money.
Yeah.
And a lot of people tuned in and watched and saw it live. But it was a really cool, like, it was the first time I've seen, and watching it streamed live, it was a cool esports moment where it was being done not so cringy. It was actually very, like, fun to watch, and they did really good, had good hosts that were, like, off on the side talking to people.
Yeah.
And it's just easier when you have streamers because they know how to talk to cameras slash how to, like, you know, if you watch any league, like their pro games and see the interviews they do with, these kids don't know how to talk to cameras slash talk about their, they just don't know.
It's
like,
so awkward.
They're not charismatic in front of a camera. They don't know how to present. Like, sometimes people will ask, like, oh, what made you decide to, like, make that play where you moved through the jungle and up the river to gank, like, top lane? And they'd be like, oh, it was just open. Like, it was just a really short answer. We're like, come on, give us a little more.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Pro-Am was really cool. And they did that Tuesday or Monday. I didn't even know it was happening until, like, a day before. But it was pretty cool. Nintendo, though, back to Nintendo.
If you guys watched the Donkey video, Donkey did mention, I didn't know this before, but he mentioned that Nintendo does have some games that it's working on, and that it didn't bring those games to, I forget what games they were, though. It was
did he say that?
Yeah, in his video, it was he talked about, I don't know, but yeah,
they have games that they could have presented and like didn't.
They just didn't.
Interesting.
Because I guess this whole stupid Fortnite battle royale thing is such a trend right now that
it's not even a trend, though. It's been staying since like early April. It's been like blowing up Twitch numbers. It's been blowing up in like just player count. It's like the most played game in the world right now.
Exactly. But then what is it about battle royale that made it,
I mean, it's easy to just jump right in and just, you know,
but
play around and just leave.
That's the same thing with like MOBAs. You know, people, when MOBAs first came out, they're just like, oh, let's try it. And then people get really intense about it. And then people...
Like, 5 years ago, six, 7 years ago, it was a huge thing on zombies. Every game was related to zombies. Every show was about zombies. Movies about zombies. Like, everyone had a fascination with zombies.
Yeah, and, like, all these big developers are now finally honing in on the Battle Royale. I'm like, isn't Halo going to be Battle Royale now?
I don't know anything about that.
Call of Duty and...
I know Battlefield 5 is like, oh, we're going to have a Battle Royale mode. Call of Duty is like, we're going to have a Battle Royale
Fallout?
Mode.
Like, what is Fallout 76? Was going to be Battle Royale?
No, it's multiplayer.
Multiplayer only.
Oh.
It's an open world, like...
Battle Royale?
I mean, if you want a battle...
It's an open world MMORPG.
Okay. Yeah,
They call it like a soft core MMORPG.
Yeah, I mean, I just think like this whole battle royale trend needs to end already because I like it. It's becoming stagnant, I think.
To be fair, H1Z1 was the first one at it.
Yeah.
DayZ was kind of the first one at it.
DayZ was the first one.
And then H1Z1 was off of that.
Yeah, but like I think it needs to end. I think it's stifling creativity, to be honest. Like,
really?
The games that were
Realm Royale is a new one. I don't know if you've seen
exactly.
It.
Exactly, it's just a ripoff. of
no,
Fortnite.
It's a new modification of the same idea.
Yeah.
You know, like it's like the saying that
they have magic spells.
FPSs should just stop. Like FPSs just need new variations each time.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, that's what Battle Royale is doing. If people like, you got to follow where the what the people want. If the people want more Battle Royale games,
but there's that one game that was a third-person shooter, side-scrolling shooter, where the environment. Did you guys see that? It's like there's like the clip of him like shooting a frying pan.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then like bouncing the.
We also saw the donkey video.
Yeah, the frying pan off.
And the skateboard, like.
Yeah, that's like that's real innovation, right? Like these like Fortnite clones are. I don't think is real innovation. Like Realm.
So wait, no. PUBG clones. PUBG was first. Then Fortnite copied PUBG. Realm Royale.
Realm Royale is just a straight Fortnite ripoff, except they switched out guns. For magic spells and
no, it's not in the cartoonish way. Yeah, it looks pretty similar, but I've seen a lot of gameplay for it. And it's like, it's they added like classes. It's like, yeah, they added like, you can be
like rogue,
a titan, you can be a marksman. Exactly.
But the guns and the melee weapons, same thing. They just added that one little aspect. Even though those skills are just most of the time for utility and not actually for killing.
No, they involve, or yeah, they're not for killing. Yeah.
Yeah, they're for utility, right?
But fights have become very dynamic because people have different abilities.
Yeah.
So I'm saying it's like a corner of the Battle Royale like world that no one's touched yet, and they decided to like add that. You know, in that way, like in the Battle Royale, like Venn diagram within a Venn diagram, like that one's like a new place.
I just think about
that. I think it's dumb that Call of Duty and Battlefield 5 have brought in Battle Royale modes. They're like, oh, we're gonna have it, like, get hype for us, guys, we have Battle Royale too, like, come join us. I think that's dumb.
Yeah,
like, stick to what, like, just stick to what love people loved you in the first place for.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I feel like Battle Royale won't stay great forever, but I also understand, like, from a societal standpoint, it's interesting to see why Battle Royale is so, like, what makes people so excited about...
I think we should explain what Battle Royale is.
True. Good point. We haven't explained that at all. For anyone listening, Battle Royale is... you have... Well, around... Usually it's 100 people. You have 100 individual players jumping into one, like, isolated island. And think of it like Hunger Games, where you have... everyone starts and you have to go find weapons and ammunition and resources. And then you kill one another until there's only one survivor or one remaining team. And as the game progresses, there is this wall or fog or smoke or electricity field that brings it in and closer and closer and closer together so that the remaining numbers can be more, closer together in the middle. But yeah, that's pretty much what Battle Royale is. And H1Z1 was one of the first iterations of that.
You know what the first iteration of Battle Royale in video games was?
What?
Minecraft.
How so?
Minecraft had dedicated Hunger Games servers.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that would definitely take the crown. Yeah.
Like, I used to watch Minecraft Hunger Games survival videos, and like it's like legit. Like, you literally...
Everyone starts in the middle and countdowns, and then you run to a chest and like, yeah.
You either run in towards the middle, towards the chest, or you run away.
Yeah.
And that was literally, it was literally Hunger Games.
Mm-hmm.
Hunger Games is the start, it's the epicenter of all of this.
No, the graphic novel Battle Royale from
the Japanese graphic
without,
novel.
Without the Hunger Games, it wouldn't have come to the West.
True.
Without Hunger Games, it wouldn't have become this worldwide thing.
I wonder if Hunger Games took inspiration from Battle Royale.
No, it's 100%.
100%?
Yeah, it's known that Hunger Games took inspiration from Battle Royale.
Oh, okay.
Is that what it's called?
Battle Royale.
Yeah, the Japanese movie. Yeah.
Yeah, about like the high school students.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it literally started with one movie and then went to Minecraft. And then people were like, oh my gosh, this is possible. And then it started into the real FPSs. Like,
well, because that's when you have the like overlap of zombies and Battle Royale, because it started in DayZ, which was a zombie survival game.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, what if we just put these fighting mechanics and these players into a world without zombies, just them, and like survive dwindling downwards. But yeah, I mean, Fortnite and PUBG themselves became huge hits immediately when they really released. And I think it's just something so interesting, and like the feeling of being in the top like 25, like when it starts getting so smaller numbers and you're still alive. It's really exciting. I know that adrenaline right there, like when I first got the game, was just so like, it's addicting. Mm-hmm. It's like a game that finally makes you feel like really hype, and like your heart starts beating like crazy fast.
What you're doing matters.
You know? Yeah, exactly. So that in of itself, that mechanic of being like more stressful, like down to 10, down to 5, down to 4. It's like, oh my God, I'm in the top 4. Yeah. That's really like keeps people going.
Mm-hmm.
But as to why it's just like sweeping the nation, I think, I don't know.
I think Fortnite really did a good job of making it accessible.
Yeah, that's definitely what I was going to say. Fortnite is definitely accessible, where not only like it's like 12-year-olds can play this and like be.
But they
like,
shouldn't. But they do.
But Fortnite is more like PG.
PG friendly.
I mean, just because PG doesn't mean like. Did you hear about? I read an article about a 9-year-old girl who was so addicted to Fortnite that she wouldn't go to the bathroom, and she had to go into rehab.
I think that's more of an issue of the parents and not the
game. No, but like.
Oh yeah, I heard. my friend on yesterday was telling me about this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like they had a disorder.
Like that's when is a game too accessible? You know.
But is that? I feel like that's. But it's one of those like topics of like, yeah. Are video games bad for like, you know, because if people, there's stories about that for every game, you know.
That's true, yeah.
League of Legends, there's so many people who like just died playing League of Legends for so long.
Yeah.
Or like WoW, for example, back when it was like at its peak.
But like Fortnite is literally everywhere. Like any human being in the US, at least I think, if you talk about Fortnite, they'll be like, oh, what is that? Oh, I've heard of that. But like
they'll probably even know dances of it.
Yeah, but like dances from it's it. Like on the level of World of Warcraft, like when World of Warcraft was like huge.
I don't think it's on that level yet.
I think it's
slowly getting.
Wait,
there.
Really? I feel I was gonna say it surpassed it. Definitely.
Yeah, I think
really?
It's either there or
like sheer numbers, it. Like because back when WoW was popular, like not everyone had a computer, not everyone had a gaming console that was except Fortnite's on every. Like if you have a phone, you can play it, and
yeah.
It's free.
Well,
if you just count it by numbers, yeah, sure, because
sheer numbers, just
yeah,
because
by percentage wise.
Oh, percentage wise.
Definitely
proportionally. More, yeah.
I 100% believe that Fortnite has surpassed or is at the same level as WoW, just because of the fact that. When you have people who only play, you know, NBA, like 2K or like FIFA on their consoles playing Fortnite, that's when you know that it's cross boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like now it's like at a point where people are, who the casuals are taking it seriously. And that's when you know that like that never happened with WoW, you know?
Yeah.
Like those people that played 2K or FIFA on consoles, we're never going to play WoW, you know? Like,
yeah.
That wasn't even a thought they would have. But then Fortnite, it's all the rage. All the cool kids play Fortnite, post about it on Instagram. They, like, talk about it.
Celebrities play. I don't know if it's like when Drake and Ninja played together, it, like, broke records on Twitch. Yeah, like 600,000 streamers.
I mean, that could just be a result of, like, where we are technologically. But like still, like Fortnite is definitely, it's.
But that's the thing is that anyone from any gaming background can pick up like Fortnite and just like play it, and it's fun. It's like, oh my god, like people get excited if they've never played it before and don't even play video games. They're like, ah, I'm playing something because I've like had Xbox on over at like, my house or visiting a friend's family. Everyone took a turn like passing control. People who'd never played, but everyone sees how long they can go. Like if they hide in a room, and it's just funny. It's entertaining, just for that fact. But I think it's partially because of just the hype. Like, people just know that, oh, this is supposed to be a really good game, and everyone's talking about it, so why wouldn't I enjoy it? Like, just grab into it.
It truly is, like, a social phenomenon. Like, and it's something that's be so interesting to study, I feel like.
I wonder how their profits are, slash how successful. I mean, obviously, it's a very... But, I'm just, you know, like, for the proportion, because it's free. It's a free game.
Yeah.
So they're...
Most of their profits come from loot boxes.
Loot boxes, like V-Bucks.
They don't have loot boxes. They have, like, you buy cosmetics.
And you can buy season passes for, like, skins and challenges to unlock skins.
Yeah. So that model has been around since TF2. So, like, it's not, like...
the OG.
Yeah, it's not, like, groundbreaking, but, like, I'm sure they're doing very well. That's why the amount of marketing for this one game is... insane.
Yeah
it's like actually crazy. You see it every week,
and you see it how it's changing like YouTube and online culture with clickbait. Like, if you long as you put Fortnite in the title, it's gonna have a certain amount of viewers because you just have the younger viewers who just like want to see anything about Fortnite, like give me it. But the most interesting thing to me about battle royales is the implication of trying to tie it to esports and making it like a professional game. You know,
is that what they're trying to do?
They've been trying to do it with PUBG for a while, and they're doing it with Fortnite. In the way that there's just so much, like if people, they have had tournaments for PUBG, and the viewer count is there. Like they have the demand, they have people who want to watch it. But the actual like mechanics of how it works is really interesting, because how do you would have a really good team and just get unlucky by the zone, by being in a bad position, not finding guns? Because a lot of it is not skill based; it's kind of luck. Like because there's so much. What's the word for random
RNG?
There's so much RNG in the game that like it's hard to, like the best player can have the worst score in the game.
I mean, if they standardize a circle maybe, so that it just start the whole island.
But it defeats the purpose, right?
Ruins the battle royale,
because it's supposed to be random. Because then everyone would always land in that center, then it became it would change the atmosphere.
Then it's a game of pure skill then, right? If everybody's only in the same spot. And then there would be those that wouldn't take that strategy and then try to circumnavigate that popular zone. It's the pure battle royale. It's like, do you go in the middle for all the loot? Or do you...
That's what it was in Hunger Games, right? It comes back to the center.
It's like, everything that you want, everything you could possibly want is in the center. But then there's also things not in the center.
Yeah, so I guess the randomness comes more from replayability. So, like, if you play it over and over and over again, like, you want the circle to change every single time.
But if you're trying to make it competitive, you have to do it.
Yeah, you need some type of normality. Yeah,
exactly. So people can create strategy.
Yeah, or take risks. You know, planned risks.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, like, it's not just the circle thing, because it's also, like... For example, one of the first PUBG tournaments, I remember watching it, and it was all over Twitch and like esports news. But the one who won the tournament, it was Solos, won it just because. But he had like 2 kills total, and they played like 4 rounds.
Yeah.
He would just play like hide, like he would just hide the entire time. And there was one point where he was actually stuck. You know how PUBG has edges of the map where it's like a canyon and into the water. Yeah. He was stuck on those rocks halfway, and he couldn't climb up, and he was stuck. So, but he was like in the top 10, and he just stayed there and kept healing himself until like as long as he could just to survive. And it got him so many more points, because like the difference between 10th place and 5th place was like, it's like 20 points. And like, that's a huge number value, because they do it by like get you a certain amount of points. What place you come in gets you a certain amount of points. And then like they add those between the 5 games to see where you come up top. And you just kept coming in the top five, and it's like that is all you need, because the difference, like a kill is worth like 1 point, whereas coming in fifth as opposed to 10 is like worse, is like worth 20 points, which is huge.
Yeah, like I also, one of the YouTube channels that I watch, the people that are part of it went to a PUBG tournament,
mm-hmm.
and the guy that won the tournament was a part of this YouTube channel, but he had just started playing PUBG like a day before the tournament, and he won it.
Yeah, see.
So you can't have that random, like that level of randomness is what got him the win. You know, it's not like he was good or like knew the game or like he just had nothing. And
that's why
won
CS:GO
it.
Esports, like League of Legends esports, like that's why those are like those players are making like over $100,000 a year for their contracts because of like just skill and like repetition becoming an actual professional team.
Yeah.
You can't have that you can't have a professional team for like it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
It's not going to be the same like economy. It's just not. So let's tie this back to E3, I guess.
Yeah, all these like big developers trying to go the battle royale route, I think.
It makes sense in today's next year's E3 sense. Might change. Like it'll be.
I really hope this is the last round of the battle royale games. Steam has already been inundated with small time developers doing it, and now the big time developers are doing it, and
that's the ceiling, right?
It's the ceiling. That's where it ends.
More, I can't go any further.
So hopefully, like this is where it stops, and it becomes like a Call of Duty feature, you know, and it's just like a thing. And people just like will always be like, oh, Battle Royale started here, and then now it's in Call of Duty, so we're done with it.
We'll see it in the gaming museum. Like, this is where Battle Royale, like in the timeline, these 5 years.
Yeah, it's like zombies came first, and then now it's
Battle Royale.
Yeah, Battle Royale.
What games did you guys see that you're really excited for?
Anthem.
Really?
I don't care if it's a Destiny clone.
What about Anthem did you really like?
The world.
The world?
Yeah, the world.
How it looked, like the prettiness.
Yeah. How it looked.
It was really pretty.
The potential of a game like that, just like.
So give us a summary of what Anthem really was.
Anthem is a Destiny 2 clone.
What's Destiny like?
It's a first person open world shooter. It's like an RPG style shooter, and you basically have a story mode. You have a story, and you're trying to get to the bottom of like why these aliens are invading this planet. But you get to work in concert with other players who work through these story missions, and then the hub world is literally Destiny.
This is the hub world for Destiny.
The hub worlds are the ones that are like player bases,
mm-hmm.
and then the instances are you go in with a party.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely RPG style.
I mean, it's definitely Destiny in the sense that it's like a first person like RPG.
Yeah.
But like, I mean, how much can you really differ from that style, right? Like,
yeah, exactly.
So in the way, in that way, within the with what they can change, it is has its own flavor, and it definitely like with the robotics and being able to fly and just like.
And like, what's it called? And you can like go underwater, so like there's no like off limits.
You feel very like it's literally an open world. You can go wherever you want.
And also, I think it's just it's important to take this FPS RPG concept further because Destiny tried, but what they lacked was content.
Yeah,
you know,
it was so repetitive. Like,
and
I really loved it the first month it came out. Like, I played so much.
It was so novel, and it was like so like. Groundbreaking. It was from the people who created Halo, so like,
yeah.
But like, it's. I think it's really important to take this genre. That's been
and they
like,
had Peter Dinklage.
Did they?
Yeah.
Oh right, he was a drone.
He was a little drone thing in the first one.
Mm-hmm. Little cube guy.
He got recasted during the DLC.
Oh really?
The DLC, like he changed his voice, and you're like, what?
Yeah, but like, this is the genre that's been falling kind of into the like the shadows almost of the battle royale.
Because
genre.
Destiny just left everyone's. Like a bad taste in everyone's mouth.
They just lowered the bar a lot. But like, if Anthem, if Ubisoft can do what Bungie couldn't do and what whoever the second Destiny's developer was, what they couldn't do, like, I really think this could be the next, like, this could be every console gamer's nightly routine.
Yeah, because it could be, because those kind of games, like, you can pour hours into them repetitively because of, like, the consistent content that keeps coming out for it and because of how the like leveling up works. Like, oh, I need to do this raid like this many times to get this like helmet, like this just a specific helmet.
And also like the social interactions like that occur as being part of a team, or like a clan, or like just having a group of friends who play this game. And if it's console available, you know, it's that makes it even more accessible to just like the lay person.
Yeah.
And like, it's FPS, so people know what FPSs are. So
and the idea that you're like, it's kind of combining the mecha and like, you know, futuristic like technology thing of it is also like predictable too, but in a good way.
Yeah,
with this like the introduction with putting on the suit and then just like being able to fly around with all your buddies.
So
it seems like everyone has their own. It also seems like there's classes, like because it's a derby.
There's different suits.
The one I was excited for was like, I would have been so much more excited for Halo Infinite if they showed gameplay at all, but it was just like to show off their like new engine. They showed no gameplay, so I really have nothing to say.
I remember Donkey was like commenting on how like there were these two games that literally just showed the cover art, and that was it. And they talked.
They were
about
showing
it.
Off the new engine. What was it? Arc Light, something like that.
Yeah.
But other than that, Battlefield 5, I'm pretty hype about, and I would say Gears of War 5, but. It's so niche at this point. People not really.
Gears of War 5. What time? In what timeline is it taking place? Is it after the story of Gears of War
4?
4.
It takes off right like pretty much like a few years later. Yeah.
Wait, John. What? How many viewers do we have? Interacting.
It's listeners. Streamers.
Sorry. Yeah. How many streamers do we have?
11.
Dude.
Oh, wow.
All right.
You say that every single time. It's fluctuated from 7.
If you're not a bot, give us a call at 855-915-9636. That's 855-915.
This doesn't take into account
9636.
People have normal radios. This is just streamers.
Give us a call and let us know which trailer you really enjoy.
What part of E3 did you really enjoy? What games are you looking forward to?
And then question number two is, whose voice do you like the best?
This is an example of my voice. This is DJ Mr. Gross, yes.
And this is an example of my voice, DJ HeJ.
Don't vote for me. This is DJ J Songs.
I think DJ J Songs has a good radio voice.
Think so?
That's why I'm asking this question.
That's what you're asking?
That's moving on. I actually really enjoyed The Last of Us Part 2. And
Have you played Last of Us? Because I haven't
played, but I watched the whole gameplay through a YouTube gameplay videos.
Yeah,
so real.
I did that for
Infamous. I did that for Infamous.
Not Dead by Daylight. There's one where all the kids go to this cabin and like you get to choose whether like you
it's called
your
summer
actions.
Camp, dude.
It's kind of like Halloween.
Friday the 13th.
No. The word Dawn is in it.
Dawn of the Dead.
Nope.
Dawn.
Dawn. Dawn.
It had a bunch of famous, like, the people who did the mocap for it were famous actresses and, like, actors.
It's like a storytelling game, right?
Yeah. Yeah, where you're actually quick time actions and decisions you get to make affect which characters and live and die.
Wendigo.
Yes. That okay, one. What is it called?
Dawnbreakers?
No.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Exactly. I just watched because it was only on PlayStation.
Uh-huh,
so
uh-huh.
I watched all the gameplay for that on YouTube via Let's Plays on YouTube. But I want to do the same thing with The Last of Us because I felt like a kid, like, and seeing other kids play outside while I'm inside, like, looking through my Xbox window. Uh-huh. Like, it's like everyone's enjoying this Last of Us game over there, but I'm never going to be able to enjoy it myself.
And that's what I do with a lot of games. I watch gameplay through other YouTubers since, you know,
he doesn't have the hardware.
I don't have the hardware. Purchasing games can be a little expensive.
That's fair.
So I enjoy, you know, the game through other viewers or players.
This is something we've talked about extensively. About how, like, I love watching video games.
He's a watcher.
Yeah.
Also, another trailer is Death Stranding.
Dude, that game is... It was overhyped.
Is what everyone's saying, just because...
It was, dude.
It's so easy to make fun of at this point.
It came out... They announced it, like, two E3s ago.
And did they?
Yeah.
No.
I've known about it. About Death Stranding, about Norman Reedus being the main character. And... It was supposed to be this, like, bleak, dark, like...
But that's what it is. That's what the trailer showed,
though. I know, but, like, the gameplay. Did you see the gameplay for
it? Yeah, I have.
And it's literally a delivery game. He's a mailman.
That's part of the... That's only a small portion of the whole game. You don't even know what the whole story is.
Yeah, but, like, I feel like those kind of atmospheric, dark games don't need that kind of gameplay to make the game what it is. Like, have you ever played, like, let's take Outlast for an example. Imagine if Outlast had a delivery mission.
But those
mission.
Are two totally different genres
of
video games.
Because Outlast was, like, jump scare horror.
What's another atmospheric game? Rain? It was something Rain. It had,
Heavy Rain?
Heavy Rain, yeah. Like, imagine if Heavy Rain had a delivery mission. Or imagine if Detroit, the cyborg game, had... A delivery mission where you're just walking with a package outside.
But once again, these are, you know, very different games.
No, they're very similar in concept. They're more about they're story based or Uncharted. They're story based.
Until Dawn.
That's what it's called.
Sorry, I was googling something. Sorry.
Yeah, but they're story based or atmospheric games that don't need filler.
I don't know. I'm excited for this game.
What makes you think the delivery is only a filler? It could be a core part of the game that makes it entertaining.
Why do you want a delivery simulator to be a core part of a game?
I don't know that. Why don't you ask players who play Euro Truck Simulator and like those kind of players?
Well, but I agree because like the thing that Dunkey makes the most fun of Assassin's Creed's games is the like trailing missions.
Yeah.
I love those. Like, when I was first playing, I loved those things. I wasn't like, oh my god, a trailing mission. I was just like, oh, cool, a trailing mission. Like, I'm good at these. Like, I know how to, like... Because there's a sandbox mode where you get to choose how to follow someone. It's like, okay, you're just following someone it's easy to make fun of.
Yeah.
But, like, I like to... It depends how much you immerse yourself into the game.
Okay.
If you don't immerse yourself that much into the game, because the game doesn't... Either because it's bad, two, it doesn't let you, or three, it's not your thing.
Yeah.
Like... Then that's where like you can make fun of it and be like, okay, I'm not interested in this type of delivery game. But for those that really immerse themselves into the game, they literally feel like they're the person, then it can be fun.
See, but that's the thing. Like, when I played Assassin's Creed, the thing I would do during those things is always run ahead and just be like, oh my god, I know exactly where they're going to walk, so I'm just going
to... So this comes down to just different taste of the video game.
It's like type A, type B personality, but for gamers.
If you have a story-based game, right?
Yeah.
Like Uncharted.
Like Assassin's Creed.
Okay. I can't really say Assassin's Creed relies too heavily on its story.
It's like 40%
story. I think it's like a GTA.
Story.
Well, Uncharted is 100% story.
Don't you dare bring GTA into this conversation. I love that game.
Uncharted is 100% story. It's like a movie that you're interacting with, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what Death Stranding is trying to be. Right?
No, it's trying to be more like...
A story atmosphere.
More like kind of like
game.
Open world atmosphere, like kind of like Metal Gear. I mean, it is the developer who made Metal Gear.
That's
so
true.
Yeah.
But like, when I think of what you're describing, I think of Until Dawn, and I think of Telltale games like Walking Dead, where like it's literally you pick and choose and you get to,
Uncharted,
but you don't play
more,
like you don't really have much control of mechanics. There's not many mechanics other than
Uncharted
just choosing.
Is more dynamic than those games, though.
True.
It's like way more dynamic, and you're actually doing things.
Yeah.
So,
and then they added multiplayer.
Yeah, I think when I first saw that game, like at E3, like two years ago, or when I read about it somewhere, I remember the baby scene. The baby scene has been out for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like
Norman Reedus's face has been there for a while.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But like when I saw it, they sold it as like this like quiet, like it was like a commentary almost on like culture.
I think that's just the your own personal take from the trailer you got, and you're just trying, since no, it didn't reach your expectation, the gameplay at least.
If you watch the trailer, it's like very obvious.
There's so many like ways you could, you know, understand it.
Like, I'm like,
it's still staying pretty vague. We really don't know that much about this game.
I'm curious to see.
To be
how
fair,
it turns out.
Like it's hard to make. We can speak about this all as we want, but all of us could be wrong. Like, yeah. I want to know. It's like one of those projects that's been working for so many years that like whatever comes out is like at least a lot of effort and energy has been put into it and thought. So it can't like be terrible. Like right, it's kind of the same for I don't know if you saw the movie Get Out. But he was working on, that was like a passion project of his for like over 10 years. So
he's been working on it for 10 years. Wow.
He was writing on the screenplay for like 8. Yeah.
Where's my book?
Oh.
Yeah, your book. Ah, I'm hooked.
So it's about that time. Want to tell him what that time is?
It's time for one of DJ Heejay's classic PSAs, everybody.
I would just call it story time with DJ Heejay.
No, it's not. It's
where
not
he reads aloud our PSAs that are required every hour. It's kind of like an ad. Since we are a freeform radio, that means we have no commercials here. But we do still legally need to bring out some type of advertisement every hour. Or PSA.
Okay.
Since we're reaching the last 12 minutes of our show, thank you for tuning in. Listening to us ramble about, you know, Battle Royale games, Fortnite, Until Dawn. What's the one we were just talking about?
Another E3 trailers.
E3 trailers.
Okay. Here we go. Is everybody ready?
I'm ready.
Buckle up. Because I want you to ask yourself, what kind of a friend are you? Are you a work friend? Are you a friend that hangs out on weekends? Are you a chill out and watch TV friend? Are you that friend who shows up on moving day? Or are you the kind of friend who's there for someone dealing with a mental illness? Be there for them because your support will give them a much greater chance of recovery. Mental illness, what a difference a friend makes. For more information on how to support someone dealing with a mental illness, go to whatadifference.org. That's all one word, whatadifference.org. Brought to you by the Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Amazing. Timely.
Timely.
Is that why it's on the front?
I don't know.
We just went to a random page and just landed on it.
It was the second page.
Yeah.
The selection. Yeah. Mental health is very important.
Yeah, so we're in our last 10 minutes. What do you guys want to talk about? We went through around... What about your Cyberpunk? Do you guys have any opinions on that game?
I didn't watch anything.
You didn't watch anything for it?
Yeah.
People are pretty hyped about it.
The gameplay video, at least, was behind closed doors, right? Correctly? The gameplay?
They didn't have footage. A gameplay.
Well, I read somewhere that they did actually show the gameplay, but it was behind closed doors. And it was 15-minute worth of gameplay. People came out, supposedly said the gameplay was pretty astounding.
I'm confused. Is it a first-person shooter? I can't tell. I can't tell.
No idea.
Are you guys excited for Assassin's Creed Odyssey?
No. Assassin's Creed is so boring now, dude.
What was the most recent Assassin's Creed? It was like one set.
Egypt. Right? Egypt.
Yeah, Origins.
I think after Assassin's Creed Pirate 1, it started to go a little downhill.
Black Flag. See, I played 1. I didn't play 2, which was like one of the best ones. And then I played 3, which was the Native American becoming an assassin. And kind of helping the U.S. fight off the English, which doesn't make sense.
I thought it was Civil War.
No, it wasn't Civil War. It's the Revolutionary War. And that's the third installment. But between 2 and 3, there was Revelations and Brotherhood. And I also played those two. They were all fun. It got not fun once it reached... And then I played Black Flag. And after that, I didn't want to play anymore. Even Black Flag was a stretch. I just thought it was cool because of the pirates and the sailing mechanics were really cool.
Sea of Thieves, then. We need to play Sea of Thieves.
Oh, my God.
That game looks actually
isn't
really
good. Sea of Thieves a dying game, though? Supposedly.
Is it? I don't know.
It was a very...
lackluster launch.
They have a lot of, like,
it was like a one of those one-hit wonders. Like, it was there for, like, 2 months and then, like, left.
I saw gameplay of it, and I was like, this looks so sick. But, like, if there's no player base, you know?
Yeah, it's not there. What's the other thing I was excited for that was really interesting that they brought out? What was that one?
Kingdom Hearts 3.
Oh, yeah, Kingdom Hearts.
It's finally announced. Kingdom Hearts 2 came out in 2008. It's officially been 10 years.
It'll be coming out on January 29th, 2019. Yep. EJ is very excited for that.
I need to buy a PS4, though.
And for those that have been watching or listening to our show, All Chat, the Video Game Talk Show, you've been talking about it since, like, the second show. We've talked about it a few times.
Yeah, I've brought it up many times. But Kingdom Hearts 3 is finally coming out with all the latest Disney, Pixar people.
Yeah, what is it? Frozen?
A lot of crossovers.
Frozen, Tangled, Wreck-It Ralph.
I never liked Wreck-It Ralph.
And Final Fantasy.
Final Fantasy characters. That's Square Enix, though. Yeah. Yeah, so it's coming out, and after all the mystery, Shrouded in Mystery, we've been getting gameplay footage since, like, 2017, and we finally got a release date, so get hype, Kingdom Hearts 3.
What wasn't there was Red Dead 2. I'm excited for that game. It wasn't really E3.
Have you played the first one before?
Yeah. Oh, Red Dead 1? Like, basically, 100%. No-life that game for about 24 hours. Played it nonstop.
Jeez.
It was a beautiful game. That and GTA 5 was also a great story.
The last cowboy game that I played was on the PS2.
Which one?
I don't know, man.
You just know it was a cowboy?
Yeah.
I want to be a cowboy. Have you seen that Vine?
Nope.
Anyway, and this is the last... Yeah, the Vine. 8 minutes left in the show. I think we should leave on our... The last remarks we should leave are, what do we want next? What are things we hope to see at the next E3? Games we want to see next? A sequel for? Like, what... Are the things we wish that something would come out?
I know what Hiji wants.
What do I want?
End of Battle Royale.
Yeah.
That doesn't count. It has to be an actual, like, game or sequel you wish.
Don't
would
tell me
be.
What
actual
I
game or
want
like a genre or like a sequel or like
anything.
Anything.
Like, for me, I was like, I wish there was Halo 6 gameplay, but that doesn't count. I wish there was like a. I don't know.
I want the end of Battle Royale, and I want a fully fleshed Anthem.
You want Anthem to be, like, hit its mark.
Yeah, I want Anthem to be so popular that they have produced DLC for it by the next E3. I mean, that's the only reason it's going to get a DLC, if it's big.
Well, Destiny had a season pass, which I got, but it only lasted a year. I think, like, at the year mark, they're like, all right, you have to buy another season pass for the next year season. I'm like, what? No, I'm not doing that at all, because EA is a freaking monster. What's a game you're looking forward to? Or, like, a game you wish has a sequel? You're kind of excited for Last of Us, which makes sense.
Maybe Last of Us Part 3. Part 2 is good.
That's true.
More of the Telltale... What are we talking about? Telltale, the
Walking Dead
series.
Did you like that?
I really
did. You play slash watch that?
I watched the first one, I think. Yeah. I really enjoyed the stories.
I think I beat 1 and 2 and didn't get to start 3. Mm-hmm. I think they're on 4. I'm so sad because the first two, I loved them so much. The first one made me cry like 3 different times. Like, it's such a powerful story. That game and... did you see that they're making Ori and the something? The wind?
Second one, yeah. It's the second one.
I need to beat the first one still. I haven't finished the first Ori. And it's such a fluid game. I'm just like... I'm still in the first quarter of it, so my abilities aren't there, so it's not as, like...
It's been so long. In depth. It's been like... 6 months since you picked it up.
Yeah, because I just don't play the Xbox anymore. So again, really in the last 5 minutes of our show, thank you for listening. This has been All Chat. Well, technically on the schedule it says Music Discovery Hour, but today it's All Chat, and so is it next week and the week after that.
Maybe.
Yeah, two more supposedly.
Yes.
Nope, I keep saying the sentence wrong. What am I trying to say?
So there's... Tentatively. There's
two more installments of this show.
And then I'm out of here.
Then you're out of here. Where are you going?
Going to Korea.
Wow, you've never been there before.
Never been there before. I'm going to be an English teacher.
He's going to be an English teacher in some sort of far off countryside of Korea.
Yeah, North Korea, right?
Oh my god!
All the way up north, right? All the way with China.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm actually going to China.
Actually,
I changed my mind. Okay.
I changed my mind.
Do you know any Chinese?
Nope.
It's always a good time to learn.
No.
Okay.
Sorry.
What languages do you like? Could you survive on?
Can you stop? Can you both stop grilling me, please, and play some music for the listeners?
Fine, we'll play some music. Do you want to do the tag thing? EJ? Actually, Justin, you do it. That sign right above you? This is blank, and then read the rest.
Yeah.
But fill in the blank with the show name.
It's All Chat.
Yeah, I know. Thank you for letting me know. This is All Chat, and you are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio.
Thank you. Sure you are.
Listening in, everyone.
He's got a good radio voice.
Yeah, he does. It's soft.
It's even.
It's like NPR.
Yeah, it's like he needs to talk about the news.
Should we do another weather update? How has it changed in an hour?
Currently, it is 66 degrees Fahrenheit. It has decreased 1 degree Fahrenheit.
What's the humidity like?
Is it different? Humidity is at 60% now. Wow. It's getting a little less humid. All right.
All right, that's what I like to see.
Sunset today is 8:23 p.m. Enjoy the music, everyone.
Get home safely, everyone.
Yeah, we'll see you next week, maybe. This is Nomads by Highs, like H-I-G-H-S, Highs. Yeah. Enjoy your Friday and enjoy your weekends, people.
Peace.
Goodbye. Give it up, 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 give it up.